In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning is our gospel lesson, where Jesus tells the parable of a king who is abundant in mercy with one of his servants, only to find that one of his servants is stingy with the mercy he's received. Now, before we discuss that, there's a steady theme in the scriptures that's important to know. You shouldn't lose sight of it if you really want to know the true God. Now, the appointed psalm for today, Psalm 103, reiterates it. The psalmist writes, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions." I love that final line in that psalm. Imagine taking your hands and throwing them out to your sides like this, stretching out your arms, and as you're doing so, all of your sins go out either side, and they go in an endless line away from you for endless days. In Christ's forgiveness, your sin does not grow closer to you. It does not come closer into the hidden recesses of your heart. The Lord, who is steadfast in his love, who is merciful, drives out all sin in you, away from you, so that it can never touch you again. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove your transgressions. And then he doesn't deal with you according to your sin any longer. He deals with you according to his forgiveness, according to his mercy. Nor does he repay you for what you have done. You will not be punished for your sins. The payment has been made already by the cross of Christ. He was punished for you. This is the constant theme of Scripture, that the Lord is merciful, that he is gracious, that he's loving, that he's patient and he's kind, and most importantly, that his desire is to forgive. There's another theme in Scripture in light of the forgiveness that we must learn as well. The psalmist again shares this wisdom in Psalm 103. He says to himself, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all of your diseases." He realized that the worst thing that he could possibly do, the worst thing that could threaten his soul, is to forget that the Lord is rich in forgiveness, who heals all of our diseases. Now, you've probably observed this kind of thing in a way in where a child grows up to be a self-sufficient adult and then forgets all that his parents have done for him. He moves away, rarely calls, and visits only when it is convenient or absolutely necessary. It pains his parents because they love their son and they want to keep showering him with their love in new ways as he's an adult, but he's through with their love. He doesn't think he needs it anymore. In other words, he forgets. In his epistle, James reminded the early Christians of this biblical wisdom and theme when he wrote, "Judgment is without mercy to one who has no mercy." Is that the way it is in God's kingdom? If you show no mercy, then you will not receive any either. If you forget God's mercy, does that mean there's no mercy for you? In our gospel lesson, Jesus says that is the way it is in his kingdom. It's a difficult lesson, but it's one that we need to hear. Jesus wants everyone to know that he is here to settle accounts. It's not that in the end, Jesus is only concerned with the numbers of our sins and making sure that we've made up our end. Jesus wants us to know that God's kingdom is a kingdom that is ruled not by exacting what it can out of you until he has no more use of you, but rather his is a kingdom that desires to keep you in and to have you. His kingdom is about forgiveness. Forgiveness, even when your debt of sin is so great, you don't deserve a place in God's court, but rather you should be thrown into prison. He wants to cover that unappeasable debt. But for that to happen, the guilty party must be made aware of it. You and I have to be aware of it, for this parable is talking about us. We are the ones who owe 10,000 talents. Now, of course, it's talking about sin there. But at a servant's wage, just imagine that what he's saying is, this is like $1 trillion. You couldn't pay this debt in 20 lifetimes. No one can pay it. How can we owe so much? How can Jesus say that our sins are that great? Well, we owe that much by increasing our debt day by day. Each moment when we do not put God first, when we do not love our neighbors as ourselves, is one more talent owed to our God. Not a single day passes in our lives where we haven't accrued a debt. The fact of the matter is spiritually, when it comes to our sin, we're always in the red. We'd like to think we could repay it if only we had enough time. We'd like to think at the end of the day, we can think, well, what are the sins I committed today? And count them off and then say, but what are some of the good things I did today? And count them off and say, ah, that balances it out. I've got enough debits and enough credits to cover them. But that's not how this works. You cannot pay this debt off except with your life. Like the servant in Christ's parable, we want to beg for more time. We want to try to approve ourselves. But Jesus knows that it's hopeless, that it can never happen. That's why he doesn't even give a moment to that thought with this servant that he tells us about. And instead, the king forgives the astronomical debt and sets the man free. And that's what he does for us. He sets us free. We turn and we recognize the depth of our debt and realize we can never repay. It's hopeless. And our Lord says, forgiven. Completely forgiven. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God, heaven. But Jesus then goes on to describe then how the servants in his kingdom are going to treat one another and all those they encounter in light of this forgiveness. In his story, that fortunate servant who had his debt forgiven runs into a peer who owes him a small debt. How will he treat his fellow servant after the king had so much mercy on him? Of course, that's how this narrative builds up, and you want to know. And we know the tragedy of it all. He acts in a worldly way. He demands payment. He even bursts into violence and he begins choking his fellow servant, something that the king didn't even do to him when he was deserving of so much more of an awful punishment. He shows absolutely no mercy and threatens the life of his friend. And once again, he stands in the court of the king. But this time, the demand is made on him again. He stands there and has his enormous debt brought back out to him. And payment is demanded with the same measure that he had shown his fellow servant, with no mercy at all. Judgment is without mercy to one who shows no mercy. You see, it's mercy itself that man had separated himself from. He had done the tragic thing that the psalmist had reminded himself not to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. But this servant in Jesus' parable walked out of the king's court, and the moment he saw his fellow servant who owed him, he forgot. He forgot how he had been forgiven. God, in his boundless love, has made it possible to pay all our debts. He'll even cover the debt of our unforgiving behavior if we will confess it. The inexhaustible limits are there for us all at all times. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions. However, what Jesus is teaching also is that this limitless forgiveness only exists with him. If we possess him, if we trust him, if we desire to be like him, then we have his forgiveness. But if we reject him, if we don't trust him, if we don't desire his mercy, then we don't have his forgiveness either. Forgiveness absent of Jesus does not exist. Mercy absent the King of mercy is impossible. You see, if we live in Jesus' kingdom and in faith in him, we cannot take our fellow servant by the neck and then make him pay for what he has done. Loving Jesus means forgiving. Not wanting to forgive others means not loving Jesus and not really desiring his mercy. It's either Jesus and forgiveness or neither of them. That's Jesus' point in this parable. And this is a very difficult lesson because we all know how we struggle to forgive. But the lesson must be learned. And remember, can Jesus forgive our unforgiveness? Yes. He is so rich in mercy, he covers all of our sins, even when we have mistreated our fellow servants, that we've tried to exact revenge or make them feel really awful for what they have done. And when you are forgiven, you know that God will give you the Holy Spirit and lead you to forgive also. Now you might think, but Pastor, if you knew only the terrible thing that was done to me, how awful it has been, how can I possibly forgive from my heart? And I'll tell you, if you think it's up to you and that you are the one that has to do it all on your own, then you will not be able to forgive. Corrie Ten Boom, I've shared this story with you before, who was imprisoned in a Nazi prison camp, whose sister was killed in the gas chambers at one of the camps, had the opportunity after she was freed to forgive one of her captors, one of the most awful guards at her prison. And the man extended his hand to her and asked her to forgive her as a brother in Christ, for he'd repented of his sins. And she said at that moment, at first, she could not. But then she remembered this lesson, and she remembered, what does this mean? If I do not have forgiveness for this man, how can I be forgiven? If God is so rich in mercy to me through his son Jesus, how can I not be rich in mercy to this man? And she asked herself, can I forgive this man? She said, no, I cannot, but my Lord Jesus can. And she reached out her hand and she hugged that man and she said, brother, you are forgiven. For in Christ, we are able to forgive and to love our brother and forgive them from our heart. I'm paraphrasing here, but I think Corrie Ten Boom said a beautiful thing about that. She said, there is no greater grace than to know what it is to forgive in Christ. You see, we have this awesome and wonderful grace that we are forgiven by our Lord Jesus, that he's covered all of our debts. But then in turn, we have this other grace on top of it. It also frees us to forgive those who have sinned against us. And how that lifts that burden of revenge or anger or whatever it might be, all the emotions attached to it. And we can reconcile to our brother or always be prepared to. So we constantly pray that our Lord will lead us to forgive as well. In closing, let us pray together and ask our Lord that his mercy will have its way with us, that we might show mercy to others. Lord Jesus, you have forgiven an insurmountable debt of sin through your cross, and now you want us to forgive others from our heart. You know how hard it can be for us to forgive because of our sinful wills, because of the deep hurts. Lord, help us not to say things to get revenge or to make someone pay for what they've done. Keep us from repaying evil with evil, but instead to overcome evil with good, the good that only you can empower through your mercy. Help us to remember all of your benefits and how you are patient to us. Make us quick to turn to you in repentance when we lack a forgiving heart, that we might be forgiven. As we pray, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.